base workers, tells the crowd that he's not interested in shaking down the wealthy donors.
My administration will make no apologies about it. We will be an administration for the working families of this country and not for billionaire campaign contributors.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
The tradition. The suspense. The race. Here's your chance to experience the Kentucky Derby firsthand. Rocket Mortgage is giving away 20 VIP trips to Churchill Downs to witness the Kentucky Derby. And one lucky winner will receive $250,000 toward a new home or pay off their mortgage. Enter today at homestretchsweepstakes.com.
No purchase necessary. 21 years or older. Ends on April 7, 2019. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Pros know getting the next job means doing this one right. Lowe's is here to help with brands you need to power through any job. Like Hitachi Power Tools, soon to be known as Metabo HPT. Same tools, same warranty, new name. Stop in today and save during our Spring Black Friday sale and get up to 25% off select Hitachi Power Tools, like a 10-inch compound miter saw for just $99. For tools you can trust to get the job done right, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offer valid through 4/14. See store for details, U.S. only.
The annual airline quality ratings are out, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the story.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane.
And the 29th annual AQR ratings finds Delta is the best airline in America. The study finds it's followed by JetBlue, Southwest, Alaska, Hawaiian, United, Spirit, American, and Frontier. Each year, the ratings rank the nation's nine biggest airlines based on customer complaints, mishandled baggage reports, on-time performance, and involuntary denied boardings. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Actress Felicity Huffman will reportedly plead guilty in the massive college admissions cheating scandal. The Massachusetts Department of Justice announced today that Huffman, along with 13 other parents and one college coach, have agreed to plead guilty to charges including using bribery and other forms of fraud. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom signed a sweeping order last week putting an executive moratorium on California's death penalty, thus ordering the reprieve for more than 737 people that are on death row. I had a chance to sit down and chat with David Dow. He's the founder and director of the Texas Innocence Network, and one of the things I asked him was when he works with these prisoners who are on death row and say they're not guilty of the crimes they were ultimately convicted of, how is he able to decide if people are telling him the truth?
The cases where we even care about whether the person is actually innocent are the non-death penalty cases, because the death penalty cases, we take all of them for reasons that I'll explain in a second. But in the non-death penalty cases, we do have lots and lots of guys saying they're innocent, obviously way more guys who are saying they're innocent than who actually are. And so we have a protocol that we've been using now for almost 20 years to go through and try to answer the question of whether they really are. I could explain to you the technical details of it, but what it basically involves is figuring out whether there is something that could be done that hasn't already been done, that if it turns out the way the guy in prison hopes it will, it'll suggest that he's innocent. So what's a classic example? A classic example is a guy who's sent to prison for committing a rape. We figure out that there's DNA that was never tested. So is there something that we could do that hasn't already been done? Yeah, we could get the DNA and we could test it.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And we're live in Hot and Hunterdon, and I'm going to hit the button in 1 second, and we're definitely going to go live. So I'm going to do that right now and check out our weather. All right, so I have someone in the studio who's going to tell me if that button works or not. But this is what we're looking at for the weather, and I'm going to introduce him in just a second. Right now, it is beach weather. We should be at the ocean. It is 73 degrees. The sun only started peeking out a little bit later this afternoon. And it's kind of out now. I'm looking out on our historic building here at the Chamber onto Main Street. And it is like a summer day, beautiful, 73 degrees. And that temperature is going to stay with us. And we're going to dip down only to 52 today, 54. So that's pretty good. I have to say this morning, I left around 5:30 this morning, and there was a chill to the air, but it felt nice. Like it was like a refreshing, the air was refreshing, not frigid. I appreciated that. And tomorrow we have 52 degrees. So it's 10 degrees cooler tomorrow and mostly cloudy. But all week, the weather's really good. We have rain on Friday, but that's our only chance of rain until Sunday. We're looking at temperatures 57 on Thursday, 63 on Friday, and the sun comes out on Saturday. We have a beautiful 66-degree day. We're going to dip down to 39 Tuesday night, but otherwise, we're staying pretty much in the 40s and 50s. So let's do our quote. Our quote today is about community, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about small businesses and communities and just chit-chatting here in the studio about the things, the layers that bind us together. So our quote of the day is from an author from the book Second Glance. And I think this applies to my guest here today. Heroes don't leap tall buildings or stop bullets with an outstretched hand. They don't wear boots and capes. They bleed and they bruise, and their superpowers are as simple as listening or loving. Heroes are ordinary people who knew that even if their own lives were impossibly knotted, they could untangle someone else's. And maybe that one act could lead someone to rescue you right back. And I think that sometimes we forget. The numbers certainly support the increase in mental health issues, and for a lot of populations, we often talk about veteran populations and other mental health crises and those kind of things, but life is about taking the time just to help someone else, or understanding even that we're sometimes all at the cusp of things, at the edge, at the cusp of our edge. And so to me, heroes are the person that'll stop and check on you with a flat tire, even if it's a stranger, just because you're in a bad spot, and take time even when they don't have it. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about that when we come back, and I'll introduce our guests. Stay with us.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, and I did something right because our live Facebook stream is not blue, it's green. So I think that means we're streaming. I'll tell you the one thing about this radio show, I have no idea what I'm doing, and it just doesn't stop me. I just do it and hope that at the end of the day, everyone has a good time with me and we learn some things. We talk about different things always here. And today I'm so happy to introduce my guest, Mike Mazzo. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Thanks for coming here today and for going through with the live Facebook streaming. I'm still a work in progress on that, but I wanted to be able to offer that up. I wanted to test your quote. Do you remember your quote from your first radio show with me?
I have a face for radio and a voice for silent movies.
So I wanted to prove you wrong here today. So that's what we're doing. Essentially, and I wanted you to come on and, you know, chat with me a little bit because you're a small business owner and you also do a lot of community things, a lot more than I think you realize that contribute to the community. And I wanted to just talk about that. Our show is always about different topics and, you know, certainly in New Jersey with the business climate. We always want to just take a pulse on that, and who better to help us understand that than a small business owner? So tell us where you work and what you do and how you're classified as a small employer.
Well, my company I'm a partner in with my business partner, Ethan Horvitz. We own and operate Solar Living. It's a small S Corporation that's been doing solar energy solutions since 1977. And we do work all over the state of New Jersey. As you were going through the weather earlier, I started out in Waldwick at 50 degrees. It felt nice. Went into Chester and felt just as good, and then went up to Bud Lake and it dropped 10 degrees getting into the Bud Lake area.
Oh, did you get to see the river? The whatever that is, the Bud Lake. I guess it's a lake.
It got foggy off and on going in.
So it did this morning?
I couldn't believe it was 20 minutes, not even, from Chester to Bud Lake, and the temperature dropped 10 degrees. It was much more frigid in the Hackettstown-Bud Lake border area, and then coming down to Hillsboro earlier, it was beautiful. Warm.
It was warm, right?
I want to go to the beach. This is definitely beach weather. I'm overdressed with jeans. For a 73-degree day today.
I'd like to go to the beach, too. The beach is my favorite place. So we'll have to each get there, and then we'll see who has the better picture of the sand or the water. I like the water, but it's really like I just need to lay on the beach.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Is that your thing, or you have to get in there and surf?
The water's too cold for me. Spend most of my time on 150-degree roofs. I can't get into a 70-degree ocean. It's too frigid.
I've been in the ocean. 55, I think, was my coldest. It's cold. But when it's 100 degrees out, it's okay.
That's shocking.
So one thing I was thinking of today, knowing you were on the show, one of the radio stations I listen to, they have a thing like the pothole patrol. So you have to be, I see your posts all the time. You are all over the state. So I have to think that you know what are the best roads in New Jersey, which ones to avoid.
Lately, they all seem pretty terrible. It's very bumpy. It's seems like roads that were just done not long ago, fresh new surfaces are already experiencing issues. But it's quite a ride out there in different towns. There's different levels of how bad it is. Very few of how good it is. It's but most of my posts are more like critiquing the quality of the pothole repairs and the lack of tools used to do it properly and the mess that it makes afterwards and the damage it causes the cars driving by. I'm not a fan of some of the work by some of the State Department groups.
Well, that's a really good point. And true story, someone recently, they were redoing the milling on 78, but they didn't grind it down enough. So the chunks of milling were getting kicked up, and a brand new car, windshield shattered, all kinds of damage to just from it kicking up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really terrible. The roads are terrible.
I've experienced, we had two vans in the same year that had different occurrences of pothole repair crews. And basically all they're doing is shoveling the asphalt into the hole and letting traffic tamp it down. And then chunks of the asphalt get kicked up by the tires. And two different vans, two different occasions, it's cracked our windshields. And the process of getting reimbursed by the state is very difficult.
But there is a process.
There is a process.
People didn't even realize that until maybe it was last fall with all the potholes and just like more construction and damage. Everyone, I also had my windshields cracked with one of those pieces last fall, but I didn't even bother to go through the reimbursement. But a lot of people were surprised you could even submit a claim.
I'm surprised things haven't improved from the 10 years or so ago the first time it happened to us. It seems to be the same lack of complete effort in doing the job properly. And then I get really upset when five guys are standing around one hole with their hands in their pocket, and we wonder why it's so expensive to be in this state.
Well, let's talk about that. So you service more than one state. You're up on the roads in Connecticut sometimes, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, just...
We do venture into Connecticut and New York upstate and eastern Pennsylvania and most of the northern two-thirds of New Jersey. We get down as far as Forked River pretty frequently and north in New Jersey. So it's a long ride on a lot of roads and a lot of highways, back roads, and it seems like every level there's problems, unless it's a road that's constantly under reconstruction like the Parkway or the George Washington Bridge. Some of the roads are pretty bad shape right now. And if the goal is to get traffic through smoothly and quickly during rush hour, one of the most important ingredients is a nice road surface to drive safely on so you can get in and out of there quickly. Obeying the speed limit, of course.
always doing that. I have a friend that comes in from Kentucky, and he always makes a big deal about the tolls in New Jersey. Right. And I'll tell you, I think he goes 200 miles out of his way to not pay some of the tolls in New Jersey, just as a matter of principle. But we're going to do a commercial, and then we'll be back to talk more with Mike and take a pulse on the small business community and what it's like to own a business here in New Jersey. And you know, people don't understand, you know, talking about the roads and the damage to two of your vehicles in 1 year, the additional expenses in New Jersey that small businesses have to contend with, and also the time, the travel time. It's like impossible to, you know, be able to tell someone you'll be there at a certain time. Even doubling the potential for your journey or your trip for duration wise, you could still be late. It's crazy.
GPS makes it a little bit easier.
A little bit. All right. We'll be back. Talk more about that.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody just...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And we're back in the studio, and I guess on Facebook Live, I don't know what happens. I really have to figure that out when we do things here. We're not broadcasting our voice. I think there's sound on that. I have to figure that out. I'm going to actually have to sit down and watch one of the Facebook Live.
Are you telling me I'm actually in a silent movie?
I don't know what you're in. I told you I don't know what I'm doing, and I just keep going with it, and it's working out okay so far. So we were talking about the travel times in New Jersey and the roads and how difficult it is to manage, but technology, new technology especially, does help. You know, I love the Waze myself with the little prompts that it gives you, you know, like law enforcement doing radar. Those are pretty helpful.
Helpful and illegal.
So I use that one. Sometimes I use different things, but it's still, it can be really frustrating to add to our day to try to figure out traffic. But we all figure out the tips, like leaving early or leaving at certain times. So that helps a little bit, right?
It does. Knowing where you're going and what the traffic typically is like gives you at least a starting point. Certainly never, everything doesn't always go as planned, but trying to beat the long rush, and luckily we're usually going in the opposite direction. So if we're heading south on the parkway, all the traffic's going north, and usually coming back before a certain time, the traffic's going back south again. So we I guess we're properly positioned out of Bergen County to head in different areas early in the morning to try to get started. I leave my house most days by 6 o'clock, sometimes earlier, especially if we're going out into Long Island and fighting the bridge traffic. But GPS makes it very helpful to plan ahead when you start putting in your addresses and mapping out how long it's supposed to take without traffic, and then figuring in some traffic stops here and there and delays, and then using that to help plan out your day. And I know I might have 2 hours or 3 hours at a job site. It's a very excellent tool to help map things out and plan your day until somebody swerves in front of your bumper and starts a chain reaction, or pothole debris kicks up and cracks your windshield.
Well, it is scary out there. There's no getting around. New Jersey roads are very, very dangerous, and often they can be fatal. So we have to be mindful of that when we're out and about. But I think a lot of people and small business owners, we end up spending so much more time doing tasks because of traffic, congestion, roads, poor construction, or really delayed construction. Sometimes construction is supposed to stop before, six, and it's 6:30 and, cones are still up there. That can really impact things. And there's a lot to being a small business owner. So knowing everything you know now, would you still take the path of being a, small business versus an employee some large organization or a company where you're like a cog in the wheel? What do you think?
Every day and twice on Sunday. Yeah. I spent 13 years in a job I enjoyed for the most part, but sitting at a desk in a cubicle looking at the weather outside, and now I'm in the weather outside every day. And the jobs that I do, I see a finished product. If it's for service, it's not working and I get it working again, there's a result at the end, as opposed to I'm doing a little piece out of hundreds of other employees. So there's personal satisfaction. There's a lot of variety. And wearing a bunch of different hats, it barely gets monotonous because it changes. I'm, explaining things to someone, servicing something, installing something, presenting information to someone. So it's a great mix for somebody, I guess, like me, that can't stay focused too long on one thing. And luckily, the variety is pleasant, and being outside is mostly a blessing.
I think it's nice to be grateful for those kinds of things, like the freedom while you have them, rather than, in the next job saying, oh, I wish I had enjoyed the fact that I wasn't in a cubicle, or I didn't do the same thing every day. So I think that's a really great thing. And I think that as a small business owner, and we've had you on the show before and all, it's really been about being able to control your customer satisfaction and your product. You're controlling your end product with very little outside influence. And that's a powerful thing that not everyone who is employed ever gets to experience.
It is. We're definitely a different type of company. A lot of, in the solar business, a lot of companies are trying to go big. You get all these national companies, and we're not trying to be that. We're not looking to be the largest quantity or volume of installations. We're looking to provide the best possible solution, one job at a time. And that goes all the way down to trying to explain how everything works. Part of it is I don't know if it's a control issue. It's difficult to find someone to train them to provide the same level of quality that we're looking to achieve, even if it lapses ever so slightly because either the training's not there, the desire's not there, the motivation may not be there to give up that level of freedom to someone else to go do this. For me and my business partner, has been a little bit difficult. So we work with others directly, but we're always on site. I'm putting screws in the roof. I'm installing things. I'm presenting it only because it's that whole quality control aspect. Mm-hmm. As soon as someone else does it, then I have to go and inspect it. And if it's not right, then it has to be redone. There's no time and there's no margin in having that go wrong. It has to go right the first time. We're competing with companies that are doing 100 times more systems a week than us, but the quality's not there because the crew has been fully trained, where it's me and Ethan, we've been doing this 15 years now. So it's tough to give up some of that, but we want to do it right, and we haven't found an individual that is going to keep it going. Luckily, we're not in a hurry to find that individual. We're looking forward to molding someone to continue moving forward, whether that's my son, it's definitely not my daughter, or someone else that comes in that wants to get into the solar business.
So there are economy of scales for things, yeah. But there is something to be said for the quality of a product. And when something small could go wrong and cost hours of disassembly to find out what the problem is, so you have your overhead costs and the management up front because you're really supervising all aspects of the project from the sale to the installation.
Yeah. I mean, we've had companies that were bigger than us doing it faster than us, and a lot of them are out of business now because those problems caught up and the expense was incurred in bankruptcy. So it's a difficult market. But like any business, you have to provide the right solution for the customer, what they're looking for, what they need, what's cost effective. And part of that for us being in business 42 years is the long-term service. We're not just in solar to be solar. We're in solar because it evolved 42 years ago when solar living first started. And maintaining systems that have been on roofs 35, 40 years to keep it going, because sustainability started back then. It's not just new because of solar electric incentives. I mean, there's little things that we do to heat pools, to make water hot for faucets and showers, nobody else is doing because all of the information is on solar electric. And there's hundreds and hundreds of companies doing solar electric, but only a handful of them doing the thermal side of things. And maintaining service is even a smaller percent of that. We're one of two or three in the state that are able to repair systems that are 35 years old. It's a great day to be in business most of the time, but the climate gets very difficult when it comes to not having good roads to work on, getting stuck in traffic because of construction, taxes coming left and right from the new administration, incentives that are government dependent, like the tax credit and state level incentives for solar. It's tough to have control when there's so many different entities involved in the possible outcome or the future of an industry, especially when government gets involved in things.
We should probably talk a little bit about that because people may not understand that. We've covered that before, but for solar energy, there's certain tax credits that require, is it a continuing resolution or a...
There's a federal tax credit of 30% that it reduces after December 31st of this year. It goes from 30 to 26% on January 1st, and then 22% the following January, and then 10% after that. And then it disappears for residential. Now, unless a new president comes in and an administration agrees to extend that, the solar tax credits for residential will be gone in 3 years. In New Jersey, there's an incentive at the state level, renewable energy credits. Originally had a 15-year lifespan. They've been reduced to 10 years. They could go away if the state reaches a 5.1% generation by solar goal. So if prices don't come down to offset the loss in those incentives, the economics change and people may decide not to do solar. which is going to be negative if the goal is to get more people to do solar. It depends on what happens with energy prices going forward. If oil increases again, gasoline prices go through the roof, electricity rates increase, then it makes the solar economics without incentives a little bit more palatable. But cheap energy right now is making economic decisions only a little difficult. And the uncertainty of those incentives or the guaranteed fading out of those incentives is going to have a negative impact. People are rushing now to get tax credits for this year, which could mean less business next year. How does a business operate booming one year and fledgling the next? It's tough to keep the doors open.
And do you, from your experience, do you feel that a lot of people do make the determining factor to go with solar, a solar source, because of the incentives?
Absolutely. I don't mean to say this in a negative way, but a lot of the people that I discuss solar options with seem to be more savvy investors than Warren Buffett. If I'm not going to get my money back in 3 or 4 years, why should I do it? I don't know anybody that makes 33 or 25% return on every investment decision they make. If you do, you never have to work a day in your life. Very few people have that ability to spot that type of an investment and move forward on it. Realistically, solar is a long-term investment. It's again, I have customers that have systems 35 years with very little maintenance. Some of it, the only maintenance has been removing the panels after 20 years to put a new roof on. So you can't look at a solar investment as a, I'm only going to be in the house for 3 years. There's going to be some value that carries forward to the new owner if you can present to them what that value is. And there's very few people that are doing that. Real estate appraisers aren't looking at solar completely and showing the value that solar has by reducing your energy bills on this home. It's just a matter of, is it a free solar lease? Do you own the equipment? Does it look ugly? Does it look nice? There's very little hard evidence provided, in my experience, with real estate transactions that show this is exactly what a solar electric system on your roof is generating in savings for this home. And there should be some value that comes with that. Or the solar water heating system is cutting your oil bill by 200 gallons a year, whatever the price of oil is. There's monetary value in having that system. But very few people in the real estate industry are taking the time to quantify that value system by system. So everything is based on, well, if I don't get my money back in 3 years, I'm not going to be here in 3 years. Why should I do this? It's not a short-term investment. It's a much, much longer-term solution for reducing energy than 3-year or 5-year payout.
So you think it's more of a 10, you think of it more as a 30-year, 10-year?
With incentives right now, most solar investments in solar electric are less than 10 years. Mm-hmm. Probably about a break even is pretty common around 7, 8, 9 years. Solar water heating depends on fuel type. It could be more than 10 years if it's a natural gas home. It could be less than 10 years if it's electricity, propane, or oil, and depending on the price of those energy sources. Pool heating's 5 years or less on fuel savings with no incentives. So we're not dependent on what the federal government or the state's going to do, which is how we've survived for 42 years is the solar thermal solutions and pool heating. We don't care what's going on with incentives because it doesn't affect the pool heating, and it's a very economical solution with nobody throwing anything at it.
And do you think with the pool heating, do you see people who had some other type of heating system and then going to solar just for pools, or is it people who have never heated and now want to heat with solar?
We have both. We have clients that have a brand new working gas heater. They used it for 1 month. They were shocked by the fuel bill that came with it. Never turned it on again. What else can I do? And somehow found us, whether they were referred by another client or in researching. But we have clients that were spending $600-$700 a month heating their pool for 3 months. So you're talking almost as much as you would spend to heat your home for the winter. People are spending that amount on fuel to heat their pool in the swimming season. There's a lot of energy that could be saved. And people are doing it burning fossil fuels. Most heating sources are natural gas. So they're burning fossil fuels to heat their pool, and they could burn no fossil fuels and heat it with solar if they have site conditions that will make it work. It's still dependent on certain criteria to be an effective solution, but when that criteria exists, it's the most economical way to heat a pool. No fuel bill, no greenhouse gases, no dirty pollution, no explosive hazards, no high electric shocks. It's a safe, effective way to heat a pool. And the government's got their hands out of it completely.
All right. Well, let's talk just a little bit more then about, let's just give out your information. We should do that. We didn't do that for your company.
Solar Living website is capturethesun.com. We have some other links. Everydegreeisfree.com, that's focusing
like
on our pool heating. And then to compete with Solar Electric, betterthanfreesolar.com, because our solutions are better than free solar. They all go to the same Capture the Sun homepage. And our office number, 973-691-8483. 42 years, same phone number, just the state keeps changing area codes.
I think they changed them again, didn't they?
They're coming up with a new one. When Solar Living started out, it was 201-691-8483, mm-hmm. and then they branched out to Northwest Jersey to 973, and it's been that for, 20 years, 25 years at least now?
Yeah.
It's been a while. It's getting old.
Well, you're on your own with that. I'm not admitting to that one. And it is confusing when you dial the one and when you don't. That to me is very confusing. Cell phones, I think sometimes you have to, sometimes you don't.
I don't know. I haven't dialed it yet. I just tell my phone, dial something now, and hopefully it understands my lisp.
Good thing you have a smartphone.
I think it's smart. It acts intelligent most of the time.
That's definitely a good thing. All right, so now we are at our halfway point, and I know everyone's tired of hearing me say we're past our halfway point. It's actually 20 of 5, so an hour just flies by here in the studio. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not. I guess it's a good thing, but it's just like, yeah, I guess so. It's a rapid move, I think. So I wanted to just touch base a little bit on communities, because the point of view that I have about small businesses is they are the fabric of the community. They are the reason and the way that we can employ people that maybe don't fit a certain model. We can support parades and community efforts, be present, visible. Some small businesses also have a storefront. You know, I have this whole thing on the declining Main Street and what it means, and everyone's shopping online and getting things from people they don't know, and things get shipped, and you don't have a relationship. But it's the relationships that carry us forward and enhance our lives and our communities. And I wanted to talk a little bit, because I know that you're involved in some different things. I know where you are some Friday nights, don't I?
Where might that be?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Bartending?
Yes, when you put the information up about, it's a post, right? Or a legion?
Yeah, I guess I manage the post facility, which includes a bar and a hall and a parking area, and occasionally bartenders call out, and as a last minute I have to fill in on the schedule. I'm not a very good bartender. I don't know how to mix drinks. I can open a bottle of Budweiser, take a cap off, and put it in the garbage, but that's about it.
And that's why you rely on your relationships, and you put a post out on your social media sometimes and say, bartending, because you know that you'll get people that won't complain about your service. They won't expect any service, and their expectations will be met. So tell me a little bit about the post.
It's an American Legion post, post number 57 in Waldwick, New Jersey. It's in Bergen County. It's a small post. We have about 180 members. They're all veterans. Our older veterans, World War II, are no longer coming around. They're old, unhealthy, and passing away. So we have Korea War, Vietnam, and up to current membership, but it's dwindling. So with 180 members, every month we have a meeting. We're lucky to get 10 or 12 members show up for meetings. But what it does is it helps support veterans coming home. We're there to help navigate VA benefit paperwork. We have a service officer, a person that's volunteered to assist with paperwork for things like that. We're there as any other club to just hang out, watch TV, watch a game. There's a pool table. Yes, there's a bar. To shoot the breeze, we have a hall that's for rent, helps to generate some income to pay the utility bills for the place because we're not open to the public, so it's not a bar that anyone can just walk in, have to be a guest of a member in order to be served in the club. And with the dying population of older veterans not coming in anymore, it's tough to find ways to keep it open within the confines of the charter and the laws for the club. But we do pancake breakfasts and raise funds to support the Waldeck Education Foundation, which does improvements to the school or scholarships for students, seniors that are graduating. We've done baseball fundraisers so our kids could go, our local baseball students can go to Cooperstown for a tournament every summer. It's a week-long tournament. We do fundraisers to help the veterans home in Paramus in Bergen County. Through county efforts, we've helped purchase several buses to get some of the patients out and about going to the horse track or to a movie or to a play, Atlantic City trip, what have you. So we've done things like that for fundraisers. We offer up our parking lot for I'm also part of the Waldeck Music Parents Association, and we did a car wash in the parking lot at the American Legion because of my connection. It was easy to get approval to use the parking lot. So we offer up our facility to help other local nonprofits do events in our hall. We'll cut them a break, if not outright donate the hall for a local fundraiser by some other charity in town. We're there to support the community. We're there to support local veterans. We're in desperate need of younger veterans to join. And the Congress is trying to, at least considering, changing the rules of membership for the American Legion to allow pretty much anybody that served since World War II. There has to be a certain period of time during actual conflict in order to be a member, and now they're trying to close that gap because of reducing membership, and basically everybody that served in the military at any time could have been called to action.
So you're talking about the classification as a veteran or the classification for the post?
The classification as a veteran as it permits membership to the post.
Oh.
So there are specific date ranges that you had to have served in order to be eligible as a member of the American Legion at this time. And it's being considered to open that up basically since World War II because we've been in either Cold War conflict or something in between Korea and Vietnam and after, where we've been meddling in some way or fashion with our military, which basically has kept us on guard and on call at any time since. So I think they're looking to give membership abilities to basically anybody that's served in the military.
So right now, to join the post, you have to be a...
You have to have served in certain windows, and I can't remember what they are.
It's okay.
American Legion, yeah. There's specific dates, Vietnam era, Korea era, Contra era, and then anything basically since 1991. With the first Persian Gulf
War.
We've basically been in some steady conflict since then. So everyone who served since 91 is eligible to be an American Legion member.
Very interesting.
But they're not coming in.
No, they're not.
Life's too busy.
Or they're not connected to that piece after they're finished with their military service. They're not in touch with that or trying to make a difference through those windows of opportunity that exist. And I don't think there's a whole lot of recruitment sometimes. I think that some people do it well, some communities do it well. But on the whole, I think when you're done with your service, if you're not connected still, if you don't go to VA services, you're a little isolated, and that is part of the problem why we want to see more people engaged, because that isolation leads to so many different factors, including that those mental health episodes that can be really crippling.
Yeah, I like to think of the American Legion as serving those who served, serving those who serve. And we're very active politically as a national entity. So there's a national commander that has access to the President of the United States, addressing issues like the VA, benefits. The American Legion, among others, was very integral in getting the GI Bill benefits for soldiers, loans when they were coming back from World War One, which is when it started. So this year, the American Legion is 100 years old. It started in 1919 after World War One, and to do things to help veterans come back home. A lot of issues of being in war and then coming home, you're not the same person. So there was an early on need for veteran services, but it took many years of political activism and effort to get things established. And over 100 years, the American Legion's been a major proponent for those who serve to get things to help them in the transition back to civilian life. There's still a way to go, but we need help from members that have time to help us help others.
All right, we have to pay the bills around here, but we'll be back with Mike to talk a little bit more about this hot topic.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton, Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what. You sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And we're back here on our live broadcast and our live Facebook cast. I don't know if that's a word, but I just made it up. So there it goes. And we're just talking about the Legion and communities. And that took us to parades during the break here, which, again, I'm not sure if you can hear while we're on break. But I love small town parades. I really do. I go to one in Clinton. I was on a streak for a while, but not anymore. But I love to see that small town parade. So I know that you were involved in or you're going to be involved in a parade for Memorial Day weekend.
I've been involved with the American Legion parades for the last several years, and before that, marched with my son in baseball. This is going back a few years. That was actually my first time marching in the parade. Was with the baseball, but we're. Because it's the 100th year celebration for the American Legion, another small business owner in town and member of the American Legion, he's built floats with his family in Bergenfield for parades for decades. So he does a float every year with his father and his family for Bergenfield. And he's like, we should do one for Waldwick because American Legion and Waldwick are both 100 this year.
Wow.
So we're trying to come up with a design for a float to commemorate the 100 years for both. And we only have, 6 weeks left, and we haven't even gotten the art yet signed up. And we have someone, another business owner in town, who's donating a flatbed trailer that we can decorate. We just need some way to tow it. Wondering if we get the baseball team to pull a rope, pulling the trailer behind them nice and slow. But, yeah, we're going to decorate and march the float in the parade this year for Memorial Day.
I love that story. I love that they both have a 100th anniversary. I'm not going to let you rush my Memorial Day. 6 weeks away. That's a long time. We're going to enjoy every bit of it. But how long is the parade route?
It's
2 blocks, 3 blocks, 5 blocks.
Memorial Day parade is almost a mile. That's our long one.
That is long.
We do a Veterans Day parade that's like 2 blocks.
Those are the ones I like.
But it's a great parade that the people set up. It's a main road in town, Franklin Turnpike. They close it off for the parade route.
Oh,
and
that's nice.
People sitting on both sides of the road, march down the middle, leisurely paced. The high school band performs. There's a Waldwick band, adult band that performs as well. Fire trucks, police vehicles. We have a 5-ton, or is it 2.5-ton, Army truck that one of our members manages and occasionally gets in movies. That'll run the parade route. May or may not be veterans in there. We can get them up the ladder because it's a pretty high truck to sit in the back. But it's a nice small town. I'd say probably get maybe 2,000 people come out on a good weather day for the whole route. And then afterwards we give hot dogs and beer out to the people that come over to the American Legion Hall to celebrate the afternoon.
That's a really fun thing, and a couple thousand people are manageable, 2,000 or 3,000 people.
Oh, spread out over a mile, it doesn't look like it's much of a crowd, but it adds up.
And I'm sure that makes the veterans feel like the community supports them, come out for something for Memorial Day, all that represents, and the float, you're going to have to send us pictures. We're going to have to post pictures of that.
We'll see. Depends on how it looks.
How it comes out. You're like the master builder for, is this your first float?
I helped, what Joe is the gentleman that does it. I helped him, what he calls puffing. And he cuts up colored paper and then we glue it in a pattern. So instead of, he outlines everything. He's like, this is pink, this is whatever. And when you're done, you step back. There's something to it.
Oh, that's neat.
So we do that on the week two or three weeks leading up to the parade. But now we have two of them. I'm going to help him out with his Bergenfield one, and we got to do the one for Waldwick. It's a tall order, and this is my busy season, so I probably won't sleep until July.
Oh, that sounds not like you should be doing that.
That's
sleep's important.
I get winter time off. It's a little bit slower in the winter.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's how you look at it, right? Take it when it comes.
That's why I like the flexibility of owning, operating a business. It's you work as hard as you can. You build up the little cushion, and if you want to take a week off because you're tired, you want to go skiing, can't play golf in the wintertime, but it's you have that flexibility. You have to worry about getting approval from your boss or what impact your being out for a week or two is going to have on the rest of the office or what you're going to come back to. It's not easy, but there's a lot of relief and satisfaction in it.
And rewards, too, for that. And I can't believe it, but we are wrapping up our hour here at Hot and Hunterdon, which is crazy, isn't it?
It is.
So I want to remind everyone to think about the veterans in your area and maybe ways you could support them. We had a great show with people doing a sock donation a couple weeks ago for the veterans, a group actually out of Totowa. She came down, and we had a great broadcast to let people know that socks are really needed. It may seem like a small thing, but it is no small thing when you're deployed and you don't have supplies. So if anyone wants to check out Russ's Wrench in Clinton for some more sock information. Otherwise, Mike, I just want to say thank you for coming out today, being part of your long journey on New Jersey roads, to spend time with us here and just give us a perspective. We just want to hear it from someone who lives it.
Oh, thanks for having me over.
You're welcome. All right, we're going to end our show now and get ready for the next broadcast. And we'll be back next week. And don't forget, if you haven't registered for Bike to Work Week, go do it.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-48 or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Outgoing Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen is thanking President Trump for giving her the opportunity to serve.
I'm forever grateful and proud of the men and women of DHS who work so hard every day to execute their missions and to protect the homeland.
Nielsen announced her resignation Sunday after meeting with President Trump. Randolph Allis, who served as head of Secret Service since 2017, is also out of a job at the White House. Felicity Huffman, along with 13 other parents and one college coach, have all agreed to plead guilty in a college admission cheating scandal. Huffman is charged with helping her daughter to cheat on a college entrance exam by paying $15,000 to a test monitor to correct the wrong answers. Your final numbers on Wall Street for this Monday. The Dow was down 84 points to close at 26,341. The S&P was up 3 points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
The Pentagon says three U.S. troops and one contractor have been killed in Afghanistan. A U.S. military official says the three were wounded in an attack outside the airbase. Officials describe the attack as a vehicle-borne IED. Some say it was nature's way of getting justice. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has a story.
A rhinoceros poacher in a South Africa wildlife preserve was stomped to death by an elephant and was then eaten by lions. Rangers at Kruger National Park finding only the man's skull and trousers. The man and two others were hunting for rhinos illegally last week when the elephant surprised them, trampling the one man, and the two companions dragged his body to a spot near a road, telling the man's family what had happened. Police say they seized guns and ammo from the surviving men who appeared in court and were charged with illegal possession of firearms, trespassing in the park, and conspiracy to poach.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio.